Normally I have quite a few scriptures to read, and because we had yesterday a wonderful blessing time, I was thinking what it would be the best subject to preach today if not about the joy. We have to be joyful. And one of the texts I will be reading tonight, and then I might go through another's, but the base of the preaching tonight, well, it is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It is easy to remember because it is 4, yes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. In our Bible, it is on the page on 1421. 1421. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says here, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." And then I will say, amen. There is nothing to add to this. It is what Paul wrote to the Philippians. We know that the letter to Philippians, according to many scripture scholars, it is called the letter of joy. The letter of joy. And I think the joy of the Lord should be, how can I say, our angel. It should be the fuel that it comes in our heart and stir our heart to live a life according to God's will. We might say, well, it might be the fuel of our life to live according to God's will, but do we need to be all the time joy? To have the time, all the time that joy in our heart? To be joyful? Paul says here, rejoice in the Lord always. What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord always? We can make so many things from here, but one thing, it is what the text it shows me, it is like an imperative text. Yes, it is imperative. It tells me, rejoice in the Lord always. It doesn't give me the chance to say, you might rejoice, you might be rejoicing, you might have joy in your life. No. It is that it says, it is like compulsory. Rejoice in the Lord always. Even when I have sorrow and trouble, does it mean that I'm not allowed to be sad? No. Does it, in Greek language, one of the shortest verse in Greek language, it is from Thessalonians, where he says that we should rejoice every single time, and to don't worry about nothing. In the English version, it is the one from John 11, I think it is verse 35, when it says, Jesus wept. It might be something contradicting here. Was Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing when he was weeping and crying for his very wonderful, nice, close friend because he died? You remember when Lazarus died? And he went to his house, and when he saw Martha and Mary crying, he was touched in his heart that he wept also. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. The shortest verse. But Lord Jesus Christ was so joyful at that time. Because in his prayer, next to that, he said, I glorify you, Father. I praise you, Father. Because you always listen to me. But I'm speaking in such a way that everyone who listens to me will believe that you sent me. Was Lord Jesus Christ joyful when he went to the cross? When he said, a big sorrow
came upon me.
Oh yes, he was very joyful. Even though
he felt so sorrowful, even though he was so loaded with so many things, and he went and he died on the cross for you and for me, he was...
Let's read Isaiah 53. That gave me the idea that Lord Jesus Christ was very, very glad. Even though he went and suffered for me and for you the crucifixion. It says in Isaiah 53 verse 11, on my page it is on 893, it says, he shall see the fruit of his travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied.
He went through that crucifixion. He went through that trial. He went through that suffering. Yes, it wasn't easy. He was the Creator. He is the Creator. God the Father told to His Son, let's make a man like us. So He was the one who took the earth and molded the earth with His Father, helping His Father to create you and me. Adam and Eve, in fact. And then He came and He was crucified by the mankind, the one that He created. What can be much sorrowful than that? I didn't speak about the pain that He had. The doctors, they went and they made a conduct and they look into the crucifixion way that He died, and so much painful, so much blood He lost before He went to the cross. And all these, no mankind could bear, but Lord Jesus Christ was on that cross, dying for you and for me. Although He was so joyful, because He knew that beyond that pain, beyond that sorrow, beyond that crucifixion, He will see you and me coming to Him in His heaven. He will see the fruits of His travail, and He will be satisfied. How wonderful. How wonderful thing it is. I wrote here on a small paper to don't forget. Every believer must learn that to apply biblical principle. And I wrote, because you know I tend to forget things, so that to don't forget. And I thought it is so wonderful, so good to mention. Make sure that you are in a right relationship with God through saving. Yeah, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure you are in the right relationship with God. The first thing that we read here, it says, rejoice in the Lord. It shows that it is compulsory. It is imperative to rejoice, but you don't rejoice everywhere. And in Proverbs, it says, even in the middle of the party, if I can say, I can't quote exactly, the heart can be sorrowful. And you might notice that when you've been in some parties away from God, when it was the most joyful, the music, when it was the most loudest, the most jumping music around you, you've been in a corner with a sorrow in your heart. What I'm looking here? Why I'm here? Why I came here? It might be that in many times it was happened to you. It was happened to me twice. And I said, wow, the Bible, it is so true. Even in the most joyful place, the heart can be in a bad mood and very sad. You know why? It is because here Paul, he knew what he said. Rejoice in the Lord. You can't find joy. You cannot find joy anywhere in the world like you are going to find in the Lord. In Him, you will be satisfied. In Him, you will find the joy that you are looking for. In Him, you are going to be fulfilled. in this life and in the eternal life. In Him. That's why I wrote here. Make sure you have a right relationship with Lord Jesus Christ, with God. If you don't have the right relationship with God, you won't find the joy that you are looking for. That's the first thing. How wonderful yesterday. We had here a very joyful crowd here. And just ask the one who was baptized. How much joy she had in her heart. You just ask. I think she will be willing to share the joy that she had. I'm so, so glad I was a part of this. I can't express my joy, how much it meant for me to be here with Adrian for the baptism that we had yesterday. Another thing it is, walk in submission to the sovereign Spirit of God. What does it mean? Walk in submission of the sovereign Spirit of God. Listen all the time to the Holy Spirit that is going to guide you on the right path in order to find that joy in the Lord. David said one time, even though I shall go through the valley of death, I fear no evil. You are with me. That's the most important thing. I don't need anything else. On media, there are some pictures that are going around and says, if you have God, you don't need anything else. Or if you have God, you have everything. And I was thinking about that. Yes, many, many people, they are sending that. On many, many media, like Instagram and Facebook and so on. And it is right. If you have God, you have everything. Because with God, you can achieve everything. But into the Lord. You need to be there. You need to be in the Lord. Outside of Him, you can't find nothing. You won't be satisfied. You won't be fulfilled with the life that He wants to give you. So, the Holy Spirit will be the one that will guide you the right pathway in order to find that joy. Once you don't listen, I have this bad experience and I give myself like a bad example. I think one time I shouldn't take a turn with my van in London, and the Holy Spirit said, no, don't take this one, take that one. And I was, coming across, and I said, well, this is the shorter way. And I took that way, and the penalty came in the board. And when I got the letter, Holy Spirit came and whispered in my ear, do you remember when I told you to don't take that turn? And I said, yes, Lord. You won't find the joy if you don't listen to the Holy Spirit. And that's just one example. There are so many, many examples you might find in your life also. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. When the nice, tender whisper comes in your ear, it's not nice, it's not good. One thing I learned over the years, one of my teacher in a biblical college told us, the Holy Spirit will never shout to you. The Holy Spirit will never shout to you. So when you have two voices in your mind, one it is shouting and one it is whispering. Listen to the whispering one. Lord Jesus Christ will never shout to you. It's written in Hebrew that His voice never been hearing shouting on the streets. He was very nice speaking with people. I was thinking about the joy. I don't know how much time I have. There are so many things about the joy in our Bibles. Paul, it says in one of the moment, in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, on the page or in our Bible, 1364, in Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it says here, rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. Do you think that Paul was contradicting himself? No. Because when somebody has something to rejoice and you are joining that rejoicement that the person is, you will feel very rejoiceful and you will be very glad. But when somebody is weeping because some things are not so straight, because we are living in the world that we are living, even now it is much worse than before. The one that is weeping will find joy because someone joined him. And it is not that the person who is weeping will find joy and will find confidence, will find support and love and kindness that you are sharing with, but you will rejoice because you was able to share your love, your compassion, everything with the other person. Whenever you will go home, in your heart you will rejoice because at least I've been to this person and I went with that person and I was praying with that person. You will have a big joy in your heart taking part of the sadness situation the person was. So when Paul says here, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep, it doesn't contradict himself. It brings much more joy in your life. Think about Paul in Acts 16. I'm not going to read all this because it will take too much. But he was in a jail. Down in the jail, down the cellar. Not in the, the ground one, because he was considered like a danger one. And he was put in that woods, you know. Or after he was beaten, he was with Sila in the jail. And what he was doing there? What was he doing there? Crying, oh God, I'm the strongest believer in the world. I went everywhere. I preached the gospel so many times. He wasn't like Elijah. No. He was rejoicing. He was praising God, singing songs of glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and to God. I don't know how much he preached the gospel before he sang the songs and the hymns praising God. But I realize he did that. I realize he was preaching even though he was in the cellar. Because he was speaking so loud that the jailer from up there, he heard everything about the gospel. When the earth was shaking and every door was opening and he wanted to kill himself, Paul said, don't do anything wrong. We are still here rejoicing in the Lord. And he was, what? Are you still there? Yes, come along and see us. And when he went and he realized they are still there rejoicing, you know what he said? What shall I do to be saved? What shall I do to be saved? Why did he ask like that? Why he didn't say, what shall I do to close the doors? What shall I do to fulfill my task here, my duty? No, he didn't mind about his jailering stuff. He was thinking how to be saved because he saw the joy that Sila and Paul had. And he said, I want to be like you. I don't mind about it. I give up to my job. Just to be like you, to have the joy that you have. So much joy. And he took them in his house. And he washed his wounds, their wounds. So much care. So they were wounded. Still, they were rejoicing. From where is that joy? I don't know. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ, you really find the joy that you are looking for. So there are many, so many things here. I didn't want to take so much time. I still need to read a little bit. Deal properly with relation conflict. Deal properly with the relation conflict. You might have some conflict in your life.
You might have some conflict.
Paul had conflict in his life. Lord Jesus Christ had many. I had some. You may have some. Don't think about here. Don't think about now. You know what Paul said? One time Paul said, if I will live, I live for you. If I will die, I will die for Christ. So much joy. People are so afraid this time. It is coronavirus. Yes, we admit that. We saw cases. We saw so many things, bad things, worse things. Are you afraid to die? I'm aiming to die. I want to die. I want to go in heaven. That's my final traveling in this world. I like to go there. This doesn't mean I don't need to wash my hands. Doesn't mean I don't need to keep the social distance. Yes, I'm going to do all that. But I am not afraid to die. Why aren't you afraid to die? Because I have joy in my heart. Because Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul. I'm not afraid what is beyond the grave. I know that beyond the grave it is a better world. It is a wonderful things that are waiting for me. Even today we read, it is a treasure that it is waiting for you. Are you working for that treasure, by the way? May God help us to understand. Don't be afraid. With Lord Jesus Christ, we will never, ever be afraid. But you will have a full cup of joy, and not that cup, a full heart of joy, not that full heart of joy, a full life of joy. That might be much better. A full life of joy. May God help us to be joyful and to rejoice in this life. Why? Because He died for you. He went with the joy over there. He was, I'm just reminding just this thing, and then we'll sing. He says, I have a baptism to be baptized, and I am looking forward, I am waiting for that baptism to be baptized. And he was speaking about his crucifixion. He was waiting, he was eager to go on that cross to die for you and for me. He had a great joy to die. Just to save your soul. And to save my soul. So much joy he had. Read in Isaiah 53. And you'll realize the joy that he had in his heart. There are so many scriptures about joy. Yesterday we had a very much joy here. And I'm so glad I was a part of that. And I praise God for the one who created that joy here in this hall. And I'm praying that God will keep that joy and will overflow, that many others will be rich with that joy in His name and for His name's sake. Amen.